It's Mike Davis from the Southern Farm Network. Good morning.
Your morning curmudgeon. Good morning.
Thanks for getting up early.
Well, I'm happy to do so. There was no way I wasn't going to get up early because, number one, you asked me to come in. And number two, when you ask me to come in early, I can't sleep. So,
sorry. Did you have any issues getting here from Lewisburg this morning?
I did. And I heard, now that I'm here.
It's reopened.
That southbound Lewisburg Road is reopened at 5:40. Thanks, Craig. So I went through Knightdale instead. So fortunately, due to our handy-dandy traffic reports, I was able to avoid the slowdown there and make a detour.
Great stuff. Let's talk some farm now.
Yeah,
some ag. We have heard about these tariffs that have been implemented by President Trump earlier this week in what he called Liberation Day.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea the impact these tariffs are going to have on our farmers in North Carolina?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, if you ask some farmers, they're going to or farm groups. I haven't heard from the ground roots. Level a lot of complaints about them, and I'll tell you about that in a second.
Okay.
But the thing from farm leaders has been, hey, generally speaking, they're going to say, hey, this isn't good, this is going to hurt us, and it is.
Yep.
The biggest impact is going to be on input cost, and what I mean by that, for those that aren't familiar with the term, we're talking about the things that you are putting into the ground to help this crop grow, and that can be anything from the seeds to the fertilizers to the herbicides, etc. The potash that goes into fertilizer, we get most of that from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 25% tariff on that, bam, right up front. So that with already elevated input cost for farmers, that is a holdover from the pandemic, that is going to hurt farmers. And generally speaking, they're getting lower farm gate receipts as well. Mm-hmm. Right now. Prices are low for farmers, the exception being livestock. But if you're talking about row crops, things are hurting right now. So on that side, people are saying, yeah, these tariffs could hurt.
With row crops, I imagine we as the consumer are going to feel some of those impacts when we go to the grocery store too, right?
It's gonna have to pass through, and it gets real complicated. But the short answer there is, yeah, we could see prices go up as a result of this. The question, of course, is, hey, how long are these tariffs going to be there? And what I keep hearing is, hey, this is not President Trump's end game. This is a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Tariffs are a means to an end to get these trading partners to the table. This gets their attention. And so how long are these tariffs going to be around? Hard to say. It's going to go country by country, because I think President Trump really, instead of these multilateral deals like we have with the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, mm-hmm. I think he likes to do one-on-one individual deals with individual countries. So, we could have an awful lot of negotiating going on as a result of this. It remains to be seen. The flip side of that is, you've got some commodities groups that are coming up and saying, hey, this is a good thing, because we've been suffering in this country because of tariffs from these other countries. These are reciprocal tariffs when you hear the president talk about it. For instance, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association came out this week and said, hey, make sure that you hit that beef and lamb that's coming in from Australia and New Zealand. We want to see that a tariff on that, because they've been they subsidize that. They send it over here at discounted prices. Mm-hmm. It's hurting our ranchers here in the U.S. So depends on who you listen to on how this is going to have an effect.
Okay, outside of tariffs, because we don't really know. We'll know maybe more later.
Yeah.
Are there other issues, because I'm sure there are, facing our farmers in North Carolina?
Well, we can't talk about farming in North Carolina without talking about the disasters mm-hmm. that occur in 2024. And of course, that 800-pound gorilla is Hurricane Helene. But that wasn't the only thing. That overshadows what happened in the rest of the state, where you had extended drought. You had that flash drought that occurred in early summer, in the spring. And then followed by rain, but too much rain. So, I mean, it was a 1-2 punch there, and then the West gets hit with Hurricane Helene. And so the General Assembly has stepped up, and they have allocated $311 million. As of last week, they have allocated that to help farmers out with this disaster relief program. It was announced by Commissioner Troxler on Tuesday of this week. That is now available. Farmers can apply for that. There's, and I forget the exact breakdown, but about two-thirds of it is going towards Helene and the mountains, the rest of it going to the farmers and the rest of the state. So that is available. They've got to apply for it. You can go to ncagr.gov and you'll see the link there, and folks can, the farmers can apply for it there.
Visiting with Mike Davis of the Southern Farm Network. We haven't heard a lot about the bird flu lately. Is that because things have gotten better?
No. Okay. it has just been pushed to the back burner because of all this other stuff that is going on. It is still out there. It is, in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't, we'll probably see it ramp up again in the fall at this point, but it's still there. It's still, we just heard, by the way, the first report out of the UK where they're seeing it pop up in other animals other than birds over there. So I think it was cattle that got some got it over there, and even bears. I think a report of bears in the UK getting it. So no, it is out there. I've heard that that some of the prices for eggs are coming down. They're starting to replenish the flock a little bit. We'll see how that goes throughout the summer. Chances are, though, we're going to get a rise in it again in the bird flu, in the bird population come fall, when you've got those migrations taking place again going south. And that's when it really seems to start spreading again. But it's just we've lost so many layers to this disease. It's one of those things, Chris, where I think consider it here to stay for the time being.
No way to eradicate it?
You know, I talked to the state veterinarian, Dr. Mike Martin, last month, and we were talking about just how complex an issue it is. They're talking about USDA is talking about a vaccine now. How do you vaccinate
birds?
These birds? There's a couple of ways to do it. Number one, you could spray them, so you can do that. Still a very costly thing to do. You know, individually vaccinating layers. It's difficult, and the vaccine that we have doesn't eradicate it. It only subdues the symptoms. So, and then what complicates it there is, they really haven't gotten rid of it. Well, then our trading partners look at it and say, if you're going to start vaccinating, we're cutting off your exports to our country. We've seen that happen. That they use a vaccine in Europe. We saw it happen in, there, where other countries say, we're not going to trade with you now. So there's all kinds of complicated issues to it. But it looks like it's here to stay for the time being.
Like an onion, a lot of layers to it.
A lot of layers to it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Great to see you.
Good to see you.
Mike Davis with the Southern Farm Network.